and welcome to the Daily Dates podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Mitchell. It's Friday, the 10th of July, and on today's episode, well, we're heading to Colchester to do some myth busting on the pod today. We have Mr. Ashley Paul. Hello.
Well, hello, Miss Lauren Mitchell. Now, I'm not going to be singing It's Friday quite like you. I haven't quite got the voice for it. But before we get into anything, I just want to ask about the post that you put up on the BFBS Germany Instagram. You're at the Garrison Summer Fete and you did some of that welly throwing thing.
Yes, welly wanging. It is now my new favourite sport. It's getting added to the CV. And yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I threw mine 16 metres. Curtis threw his 21, but I think that's probably to do with the fact that Curtis is about a foot and a half taller than me, so...
Yeah, and Curtis, we know what he's like. He always goes all out for anything he does in life. So
yes,
you've got to give it to him. Probably did a lap of the celebration afterwards as well.
No comment on that, but he is a big kid at heart, for sure. For sure. So he's got to go over the top. But how are you, mate? How's things?
Yeah, all good. It's been really busy here in Colchester. Obviously, like everywhere else in the UK, just been so hot. So hot. But there's been loads going on with the Paras. Of course, we're the home of 16 Air Assault Brigade here in Colchester. And we had an event at Colchester Community Stadium and I popped along. So it's run by the Army Engagement Group, who basically go around the UK and they tour, they give presentations and run kind of like little road shows that are all about just giving a greater awareness and understanding of A, the British Army, but also B, the wider armed forces.
So what was the event like? So is it like recruitment?
That's funny enough. That was a question that came up when I spoke to quite a few people there. It's not as such a recruitment event. It's people heading along from all corners of the local communities. That's things like school leavers, education providers, local authorities, local businesses. And it's more about this is what the army does, because everyone's on TikTok these days. Everyone's on social media. Probably see things in the news that, you know, don't give the whole idea and picture of what the armed forces do. And so it was more of that. And it was a formal-ish event, a big podium at the front where they were doing some speeches and presentations. And then they had a really good Q&A section at the end.
So who were the attendees? Like, who's invited to these events?
As I say, it was local authorities, school leavers, dignitaries. It was anybody that had an interest in finding out a little bit more about the armed forces. And they certainly did.
So who did you speak to?
I managed to grab a word with one of the organisers, one leading the event, and that was Colonel Lorna Ward, who is Assistant Commander, Joint Military Command Centre.
We had about 100 people here today from across the community, whether it's from schools, whether it's from the local authorities, whether it's from businesses. And it's great. This is the way we deliver it, really, is a partnership between the Army sort of central engagement group. And they have a very polished presentation. And what they do is they link up with us as the regional headquarters. And we're able to bring that regional flavour and the personal touch and then link up personally with the people in the community.
And I think having the Q&A at the end as well, because you get to see what people want to know about the armed forces.
It's a real eye-opener at these events where you do get every single question you could possibly imagine from the community. And they're from leaders of the community, but they're also sometimes we'll have, you know, people here with their parents and they'll want to know. So you get questions that vary from what's a career in the army like. You know, we'll get questions which are obviously really more for our politicians and our lords and masters, as it were. And some we can't answer, or some we'll go away and get the answers to. But they vary massively, and it does give us an insight into what interests our local communities and what questions we haven't probably answered quite as well as we might have done so far.
And you and your team must be very busy at the moment. Lots of things in the calendar.
Loads of things going on across an extremely large area that we're responsible for, and we just have to try and get out and speak to as many members of the community, of schools, businesses, industry. And it's a really topical subject at the moment as well, obviously with the recent publication of the Defence Investment Plan, and waiting to see where we're going on defence. And, you know, our local communities want to know that too and really want to get involved. Quite a lot of the questions, I think, reflect a view that many members of society still have of the army and the armed forces, which is that what we do is we're all infantry and we all go to war, which is obviously a tiny part of what we do, a very important part. But actually, one of the aims that we have in these presentations is to make sure that we show people that you can have a huge variety of careers across the army or the armed forces, which range from dog handlers to engineers to nurses to administrators to lawyers, you know, the list goes on, but also that people can get a huge amount of training and education in different skill sets and different career paths. So school leavers, for instance, will find that they can actually start a career from scratch and that training and the education they need in order to build it up by joining the army. And that's something I think that perhaps people in the room didn't necessarily know before they came here.
And I think probably one of the other questions that you got was, hang on, there are three services?
And that was something that we came across a lot, actually, during COVID as well, where everyone in green uniform was referred to as the army. And we had to make absolutely clear that this was across all three services, it was a defence effort, and that one service can't do it without the other. And that actually, we are all serving the country and we are all serving our communities, but it isn't just the army. The Royal Air Force and the Royal Navy are there too.
Do you know, Ashley, it is so interesting when she said then about the armed forces sort of being umbrellaed and sort of the myth behind it of that the armed forces is just the army. When I was younger, like quite a bit younger, I also just thought that like the military was the armed forces was just the army. I didn't have any military connections in my life to know that. So I think it's probably more common than people think.
You're absolutely right, and I was the same. I've never made a secret of having any military connections or knowledge. When I first started here in Colchester, I'll probably get in trouble for saying this, I thought that the parachute regiment, because there was planes, they were to do with the RAF.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a big no-no. But you soon learn these things, don't you? But it was one of these myths. I mean, this is what I think a really big takeaway of the day was myth-busting. That's what the team were doing. Because a lot of these attendees found out so much. They covered everything from the journey of a soldier, being a school leaver, university. Oh, a lot of people turned around and went, I didn't know you could get bursaries from the army or the wider armed forces to do a university course that will help you within your job. And I loved a point at the end where they said, what other job can you say in the world is guaranteed at the end of your university degree? Armed forces. Of course it is.
That is such a good point, actually. Really, really good point. And I guess it's a very good way to showcase the amazing opportunities that you can get with the military that you might just not get on Civvy Street. It is just fantastic. But Ashley, how do you think events like this one change and shape how people see the British Army and the UK Armed Forces?
Well, the Army Engagement Group had that covered as well. They used very scientific data. So at the end, using this technology that they had where everyone paired their phone up to the presentation, they put out to the group, they said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident do you feel that you know more about the armed forces? And you just saw everyone putting in at least a 9. It just kept going. The percentages, nothing below a 9 came in. And that was from over 100 people in the room. So it really did inform and just bring to light a lot of aspects of the armed forces that many, many don't know about.
And who else did you speak to whilst you were there?
So it wasn't just about the full-time armed forces. There was reservists there. They were talking about cadets too. So I actually managed to grab a word with a reservist who did a presentation as part of the main event. And that was Officer Cadet Erin Brewer of 151 Regiment RLC. And she was so full of optimism and so excited and passionate about being a reservist and a career in the armed forces. And so I thought I'd ask her, what's her top tip for anyone thinking about it?
I think generally it would be to just throw yourself at any opportunity that the army has to offer, and that there really is something for everyone. If there's something that you have a niche interest in civilian life, I can pretty much guarantee that you'll probably find it elsewhere in the army with bundles of adventure and sport and travel on top of that.
And what was your journey towards being a reserve?
So I joined the UOTC when I was at university, and joining the University Officer Training Corps was probably the making of my university experience and a bit of a gateway into something that I'd had an interest in but didn't really know a lot about. While I was at the UOTC, I did some really fantastic things. Obviously, exercises often every weekend, good training nights once a week, having dinner with all of my friends, really like quite a good opportunity to mix and mingle. And then on top of that, plenty of AT opportunities, battlefield studies, sport. So I been to Gibraltar twice with the OTC. I went to the Falklands, which was probably one of my best experiences so far. You couldn't get me away from there. Following my time at UOTC, I did a placement year at the Centre for Army Leadership, which again was a fantastic experience where I made friends for life who I know I can always depend on and will sort of guide me through the stages of my career going forwards from a really friendly, familial point of view. And as of August last year, I transferred to 151 Regiment RLC, which has been fantastic so far. Lots of great training opportunities, lots of learning about transport as a trade and drawing on skills from our medics and our chefs and our clerks within the regiment too. I've been skiing with them once already, and at the end of this month I'm due to go sailing in Mallorca, which will be another qualification and a bit more travel under my belt.
And a little bit more sun.
And a lot more sun, hopefully.
I bet when you started university you didn't even think of a career in the armed forces, and to fast forward to now...
Yeah, now I couldn't imagine myself doing something different, and I think my friends and family would also agree, which is something that's incredibly important to me. I sort of had an interest in it, but I never knew I would throw myself at it so much, and I think I was met with a little bit of resistance too, which would have steered my opinion even more. But having the UOTC and the reserves as sort of that gateway in to show my family what is on offer and what I'm able to do, I think they've now also fallen in love with it. And like I say, couldn't imagine me doing anything different.
It's amazing to think that Erin never actually saw herself in the forces. But that's not the first time I've heard a story like that either, Ashley. In fact, this week I've just been with the University Officer Training Corps here in Germany and spoke to a lad who just signed up to do the UOTC stuff, like alongside his studies, bit of extra money in his pocket, and now he's fully signed up for a career in the forces.
And did you hear how great she was when she said... The Falklands was my favourite experience so far. They could not get me away from there. I mean, you and I have both been to the Falklands. That's another myth. Let's bust that one. The Falklands are amazing.
Yes! The Falklands is amazing. I think they see or they hear about the Falkland Islands and they go, oh, it's cold, it's this, that and the other. There is also summer in the Falklands. That sunshine is not one to be messed with. Did you get a red nose as well, Ashley?
You might have seen my face as you were saying about, you know, there is summer. I think there was one day when I was there and our engineer Cameron, he actually had to sit underneath an umbrella because he needed that shade. Bless him. He got a little bit sunburnt, but it's just the wind, isn't it? But no, let's just keep with how great the Falklands are.
It is fantastic. It absolutely is. But Ashley, you have been so busy in Collie this week, haven't you? I mean, you and Peter, I bet you've barely even been in the office.
Funnily enough, we said that to each other. We do a little link up on air on each other's shows. And for some of them, we've just about made it within a minute to the other person's show because we've been so much on. I mean, it all started with me popping along to the Roman Circus Visitors Centre, which are going to be putting on an event for the school holidays. And we had a chat about what to expect from that. Peter also attended the Army Cycling Championships that were hosted here in Colchester at the sports park. And Peter wore denim jeans. And let's just say he's still not been let off the hook for that. Everybody was completely taking the rise out of him for it. And we are very busy at the moment. The teams here, especially Support Our Paras and the Garrison team as well, getting preparations underway for the Airborne Soldier statue unveiling. So it's to mark 25 years of the Paras being in Colchester. There's going to be a huge event, huge fete afterwards, big old party. BFPS are going to be there too. And that is happening on the 31st of July. So lots to be looking forward to, but also lots done.
It has been so nice to catch up, mate, and I hope that you and Peter get some rest soon. You know, as they always say, there ain't no rest for the wicked, is there?
No, and Peter won't. He's the biggest football fan going, so I think he's going to be on edge a little bit until Saturday night.
Well, what else is going on across BFBS? Well, the BFBS Pro League is back for Split 2 on the lobby. Danny G is joined by Jonah Jupp, Owen Williams and special guests. Eddie Plays Games. There's no spaces in his title. To talk all things League of Legends. Fresh from visits to HMS Collingwood and HMS Sultan, the team share more from the events. Plus, there's also going to be a crash course in League of Legends. Whether you're a seasoned player or you've never touched the game before, veteran player Eddie Plays Games breaks down the basics, explains why League of Legends remains one of the biggest esports titles in the world, and shares what it's like to compete in UK veterans gaming. Plus, we take a look at the eye-watering prize pools on offer at the Esports World Cup. All that, plus much, much more on The Lobby. You can listen to it wherever you get your podcasts, or you can head to bfbs.com/The Lobby. Well, thank you so much for joining us for today's episode of Daily Dits. I've been your host, Lauren Mitchell, and I'll see you on Monday.